This is On Story from Austin Film Festival. I'm your host, Barbara Morgan. Today, we'll hear from Academy Award-nominated filmmaker Frank Stifel. Stifel's short documentary, Heaven is a Traffic Jam on the 405, is nominated for Best Documentary Short at the 2018 Academy Awards. Heaven is a Traffic Jam on the 405 is a portrait of Mindy Alpert, a tortured and brilliant artist who lives with a mental disorder, acute anxiety, and devastating depression. I recently spoke with Frank Stifel to discuss the long journey to his Oscar nomination. Your film is called Heaven is a Traffic Jam on the 405, and you premiered the film here at the Austin Film Festival, right, in 2016, and then swept the awards.
You know, the amazing thing is it was also the first festival that accepted the film. So it was the first time I'd ever heard anybody sort of say the name of the film at an award ceremony, to the point where actually it was my wife who was sitting next to me, that had to say, get up now. Austin was a great moment for me.
And now, of course, you're nominated for an Academy Award in the Best Documentary Short Subject. So can you just talk about, from a filmmaker's perspective, that journey for you?
It's funny. Day before yesterday, there was an event where all of the nominees are invited to a luncheon. And it's the Beverly Hilton Hotel. It's one of those, there is no expense spared here. It's really grand. And you're, you know, looking at Spielberg and Meryl Streep and Del Toro. And you're looking at every one of your heroes and, you know, in this grand place. And there was this moment where I sort of remembered how humbly this all began, which was I was curious about Mindy. I'd seen her artwork. I was curious as to why she was the way she was. And I just asked whether she would mind if I filmed her making the sculpture she was working on. And, you know, and that was it. It was me, a camera, some sound equipment, alone working with she as she was making the sculpture. Remembering that moment and trying to tie it into the grandeur of the moment that I was in right now just seemed I couldn't find the bridge. It was just so great. You know, you go out and you make a film and it's confusing and you're not quite sure what your film is for a great deal of the time. And at some point it emerges and, you know, and you start submitting it and getting it rejected and somebody accepts it, somebody else accepts it. And you find yourself on the Academy list. It's a long list of 77 and then it gets paired to 10 and now 5. You know, it's like a 5-year trip from the moment that you begin filming to this moment.
Can you talk about why you chose that, why you chose a documentary short for the subject matter?
This is my second film. My first was also a portrait. It was a portrait of my mother, who was a deaf Holocaust survivor. I didn't have much of a plan there. My plan was to, you know, to make a film to give to my kids, and then it got bigger. And this didn't have much of a plan either. You know, I just set out to make a film. There's nothing in that film. There's nothing in Heaven that I knew before I started. There's not one. I didn't know her family. I didn't know about her illnesses. I didn't know about any element of her condition. And so I just went with my curiosity. Both of those films are 40 minutes. They're both portraits of, you know, incidentally, women. And the form of it is sort of like this perfect form for a portrait in that it allows a really deep dive. If you stay focused on a person and really, you know, dive deep into it and sort of really explore all of the facets of that person, that 30, 40 minutes is a perfect format. But I think it's all about focus. I love that amount of time.
I would love it if you could introduce us to your first introduction to Mindy, and then also, you know, how you started incorporating her communication uniqueness into ultimately this story you tell about this really incredibly creative artist.
I met her. My wife is an artist, and she works in the same studio as Mindy. She would come home and speak of this woman who quietly sits in the back of the studio producing this astounding work, but never speaks to anyone. And over time, my wife, BJ, would, you know, just sort of draw her out, and they started having coffee at the end of the day. And there was a group show. I went to it and saw her work for the first time and was just knocked out. And we found ourselves sort of in the same social circle. And, you know, I saw her at a lot of art openings and things. And I just wanted to know, like, who was this person that made this art that seems to speak the way she does? And purely out of curiosity, I asked whether I could film her making this epic sculpture. We film her making an 8.5-foot paper mache bust of her psychiatrist. And so I just started hanging around the studio, you know, filming her making that. And out of that came the first interview. It was the first of six. And the story just got deeper and deeper and deeper. I interviewed her mother three times. First interview was probably superficial, but it was based on the little bit of information I had about their relationship and about the relationship with Mindy's father. It's just one of those things that was about discovery. Every bit of it was new to me. You know, we probably were at this for about, I don't know, 2 years, 2.5 years. For the longest time, I had no idea what this film was about. For a while, I thought it was about the other artists and Mindy in the studio, and I went about interviewing all of them. You know, it slowly emerged. I had an edit that was 84 minutes, and I knew I was lost. Then at 62 minutes, it took shape. I wondered what would happen if we took out everything that was merely interesting and just kept in the stuff that propelled the narrative, and that became the 40-minute film.
Mindy talks about her neurosis. I don't think I'm revealing anything here. How was that setting up interviews with somebody over time that has an open neurosis when you start delving into very personal questions with that person? I mean, what was that like for you? Did you have to prep for that specifically each time you interviewed her?
Yeah, I probably spent about 2-3 hours before every interview just thinking about it and writing questions. I think the trick to interviewing is, my trick is, prepare very fully. And so there's, it really is about 3 hours of questions, and I'll consult those. But I think the real issue, you know, is listening. So you'll ask a question, you'll get an answer that'll take you on an entirely different tangent. But if, you know, if your head is in the list of questions you're about to ask, you're going to miss it. And if they're the questions you're going to be uncomfortable asking and you don't ask them, then go home. And she's the most remarkable interview subject, in that thing that we all have when speaking to people, and, you know, where we start to look at ourselves. Actually, I'm doing it right now, and wondering whether I'm being smart, and wondering whether they're liking me, and, you know, that all of that, you know, that yamma yamma that goes on in your brain, you know, about how am I coming off. She doesn't have that. You know, she just answers the question. She's the most fundamentally honest person I ever met. In that regard, she's not selling anything. She's not trying to leave you with an impression. She's just going to answer the question.
Well, as you were pulling back the layers of Mindy, and as we as an audience are getting to know her, one of the really wonderful techniques you used, which I thought was really stunningly done, was her artwork, not just the papier-mâché, which we see more of later, but her sketching that occurs, the animation that occurs in your documentary. Can you talk a little bit about how that idea came to you and how you decided to prepare that for it, how those sketches came about?
The sketches were part of her history. The only thing that she made for the film was a sketch that we watch her make. And so everything there is historical. The brilliance of those sketches is how emotionally true they are, how psychologically precise they are, describing a moment in her life. Not the event, but how she felt at that moment. The animation was actually an idea that we knocked off from Brett Morgan's Kurt Cobain film, which was a much grander version of what we did. Since her sketches are very stripped down, we used a very stripped down version of it. And I felt the only way to make it really work was to not show how smart we were, but to use the sketch and animate it in such a way where the animation now took on an emotional point that the sketch couldn't. So we used it very sparingly. I think we only did it 5 or 6 times. There's an early one where she talks about fearing skin, fearing cooties that could kill you, and we took one of her sketches, and a cootie sort of comes right at you.
I was a strange kid. I had so many phobia, touching people close to me. I was afraid other people, cooties, would get on me. I was terribly afraid my cooties would get someone else. I thought skin is very frightening. Afraid my poison would come off on someone I touch and make them sick. And maybe they could die.
There's a sketch that I always loved, which is she and her psychiatrist in profile. And what's coming from her psychiatrist are hearts. And what is coming from Mindy to her psychiatrist are nails. And so we had those hearts and those nails confronting each other. The love knocked over the hate. We used it, I thought, quite well.
Can you talk about how Mindy feels about the film? Like, but not just now, like how she felt about it during the process?
She never could quite figure out why there was a film being made of her. You know, and she kept like, what are you doing? I think that we had this natural trust in each other. I end the film. The very last thing I have in the film is a sketch of hers, of she and I in a car on the 405. And I used it because it was really, you know, this trip that we took together, not having a clue as to where we were going, but just sort of trusting that it was going to work out okay. And I think that's the way we proceeded. I decided that I would show her every cut. You know, I knew I was dealing in sensitive material. I wanted a governor. I wanted somebody to say that I had cut a corner and that I hadn't told an absolute truth and that I had manipulated something. And so I needed her to be that person. Every time I had an edit, I would show it to her. The first time I did that, I gave her a pad and a pen, and I said, you know, tell me where I've gone off. Tell me if I've done something, if I put something in here that isn't right. And at one point, she started to scribble something on the pad, and I craned my neck to see what it was. I couldn't figure it out, and the film ends, and I took a look at this pad, and it said, too much Mindy. She perceives it as being my film. I perceive it as being hers. But we're sort of having this great time with it.
She was particularly excited about the Hiscox Courage Award. Can you tell me about that?
Well, that took some explaining. She thought it was the award was being given to me because I was courageous. And I said, wait a minute, you know, there are films here that were made in Syria. I'm two zip codes away from my bed. I never lost a night of sleep. This isn't about me. This is about you. And in fact, when the Hiscox people contacted me and said they were going to be sending me a trophy, I said, make up two, because it's not me. And so they did. And she has that trophy proudly displayed on her coffee table. And she doesn't perceive what she does as an every, you know, just getting through the day sometimes is, you know, is courage. And so I really, you know, I had to explain that, you know, not knowing what your day is going to be like and still sort of being able to be positive and feel as if there's hope on days where it's really bad is courage.
So last big question here. I'd like to hear about you. I mean, this is astounding. Most filmmakers who had just made their second film to get nominated for an Academy Award. How did you get here? What's your background? Tell us a little bit about you and how you got to be a filmmaker.
That first film was made when I was 63. I'm 70 now. I was a business guy. I ran a production company. I spent the last 35 years either running or owning a production company that primarily made TV commercials. So my job was to be in support of directors, but to make sure that jobs worked. You know, I wasn't interested in being the company that came up with the lowest bid. I was interested in being the production company that came up with the smartest solution. And that was the way we sort of proceeded and made that first film about my mother. You know, it was at the Berlin Film Festival, and HBO bought it, and, you know, it was a pretty acclaimed film. And I thought, well, this is a sign. It's not one that I was looking for, but, you know, maybe it's time to stop doing that and start doing this. And that was pretty much it. You know, what I had sold my company 7 or 8 years before, and I was there as an executive producer and was doing some television as well. And again, I loved it, but I'm also somebody that's acute to opportunity. Something's telling me to do something else. And that's the way it went. So this second career in retirement, you know, just this tremendous gift, and one I could never have written this script.
That's such a wonderful and hopeful message for people to hear. And of course, it's never over. Congratulations and good luck. And I appreciate you doing this.
For more On Story, check your local PBS station for our television show of the same name. Every episode is a surprising and intimate look at filmmaking. Check your local listings, stream from PBS, or go to onstory.tv.